Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome, everybody, to another outstanding episode of Geek Vibes Live Interview. Today, we have a very special guest. Today, we have the man behind Luke Cage, Marvel's Netflix series, none other than Cheo Hadori Coker. Cheo is a distinguished television and film writer. He's also done some work for NCIS. He's done some work on Southland, Ray Donovan. He's also the co-writer on the upcoming Creed film, Creed 2. If you saw that trailer, wow, that trailer was amazing. Another great performance, it seems, by Michael B. Jordan. That guy's really at the height of his career right now. I mean, brilliant job with Killmonger and Black Panther. Creed 2 looks really, really good. But Cheo also was a screenwriter for the Notorious B.I.G. project. If you've been living under a rock, then you're probably the only person that doesn't know that today is the day that Luke Cage Season 2 debuted. Luke Cage is right now certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. I think everybody that knows about Season 2 has probably already binge-watched it. I know most of the people that follow us on Twitter are already talking about it, really enjoy it. We actually saw it actually a month before it came out. We had to sit on that, but we loved it, absolutely loved it. It was a great performance by everybody. I think everybody's really grown into their role. I do feel that this season did seem to focus a little bit more on the villains. That's just my opinion. I actually really enjoyed Bushmaster in this season. I know a lot of people kind of miss Cottonmouth, but you know, each season of the shows are going to introduce new villains to keep us on our toes. I think everybody did a real good job. Mike Coulter really owns the character of Luke Cage. I also feel that Simone Missick as Misty Knight is great. I wouldn't even mind seeing a spinoff with her if that's something that they plan down the road. We plan on asking Cheo some Season 2 questions. You know, maybe even try to find out a little bit about his upcoming Sony project, Nightwatch. We just, you know, really want to find out if there's anything else that he might be working on. I know a lot of fans really want to see a Moon Knight show come to Netflix, or even a movie. I think it would be better as a Netflix series. Maybe that's something that he would be interested in doing, or even maybe doing a Blade series. I think Cheo would do great with a Blade series. There are just so many options for Marvel Netflix. Their shows are really second to none. I mean, everybody loves Daredevil. Punisher is a huge hit. Jessica Jones Season 2 just came out a couple months ago as well. Iron Fist is working on its second season. The first season really had a lot of mixed reactions. So I fully expect them to bounce back with Season 2. And like I said, you know, we got Luke Cage. We had Defenders. I'm not sure if we're going to get another Defender series, but I'm pretty sure that Marvel Netflix has definitely, you know, got some shows lined up, you know, down the road. I know that Gabriel Luna has played Ghost Rider on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Not really sure how much longer that show is going to last. I think Ghost Rider would be a great Netflix series as well. So that would be, you know, really cool to see them take on Blade, Ghost Rider, and Moon Knight. Oh my goodness, I mean, that would just be a huge trifecta of new shows for Marvel Netflix. I think you could go in so many directions with those characters. Daredevil Season 3 is about to kick off. They just finished filming Punisher Season 2. We know the villain, and that's going to be Jigsaw. We also know that the villain for Daredevil so far is teased as Bullseye. That's somebody that I think a lot of people have really been anticipating. But also we're going to see, you know, Kingpin, the whole, you know, him running for office. Just, you know, right now I think there's just – I think there's three leaders in the Marvel Netflix series pack. I think it's Luke Cage. I mean, Daredevil's still the king, still at the top right now. But then I think you have Luke Cage and Punisher duking it out for that second spot. But this season is terrific of Luke Cage Season 2. And really excited to have Cheo Hadari Coker on with us today to talk about, you know, what really inspired him to, you know, for this season, why he decided to go with the villains that he did and the characters, and just go from there. So we're just waiting on him. He's very busy. Like I said, today's the debut of the show, so there's just a lot of people really wanting to talk to him in the cast. We're really grateful that he's able to fit us in his busy schedule today. And as soon as we have him, we will definitely connect with him and get that interview started. So we should be expecting him here within the next few minutes. Cheo, is that you?
Hello.
Hey, Cheo, this is Kanan with the Geek Vibes Nation. How you doing today?
Pretty good, man. What's going on?
Oh, not much. Just celebrating the success of Luke Cage Season 2. Congratulations, man. Reviews are through the roof, and everybody that we've talked to today has really loved it.
No, I'm just – see, you know, the thing is the reviews are up and down. They've mostly been up. There have been a few downs, you know, but, like, this is the thing for me. It's just really just, like, seeing what fans think of the show. Like, this is – to be like, you know, I honestly haven't really slept. We had our party. We did the premiere last night. We had the party. I got back to the hotel. I'm in New York right now, New York area at least. I got back to the hotel around 1:45. I sat down on the couch. I blinked, and then it was 4 o'clock in the morning, and I haven't slept since. And it's just been like refreshing Twitter, just watching the actions, because you know, when the fans get it, that to me, like these next 36 hours, this is when the show lives and dies. And I'm just really hoping that people dig it. And see, and I think you're right. So far, people really seem to dig it.
Yeah, I mean, everybody that we've talked to, you know, we actually get to see it about a month early, and I mean, we've loved it. I mean, we love Marvel Netflix series through and through, and you know, the guys on the team really loved the first season, and everybody that we've talked to has really loved the second season as well. So, I mean, I think it's a win. I mean, I know as a showrunner, you look at it from all aspects. You know, you look at the fans, you look at the critics, but as a from a fan perspective, I think you've got a huge hit. I mean, Luke Cage is like I said, it's up there for Marvel Netflix shows. So I'm saying congratulations. I mean, I know, like I said, I know you probably take it a little bit different because you're looking at it from all sides, but I think it's a huge win for y'all.
Thank you so much, man. I truly appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome. So we just want to – we kind of want to – I know we don't have you very long today, but for the time that we do have you, we kind of want to pick your brain a little bit about Luke Cage Season 2, maybe ask you a couple other questions about some stuff you have coming up if you can answer it. But just starting off, you know, like we talked about, Luke Cage Season 1 was a huge success. What was the direction – that you wanted to go for Season 2? Did you know at the end of Season 1, or did it just kind of play out through filming Season 1?
Well, I mean, the thing was that Angelica Jade Bastian, a reviewer for Vulture, to me, had incredibly passionate, in some cases very harsh, recaps of the episodes. The thing was that even when she was hard on the show, like, I found her writing to be exquisite. And even when it was painful, it was exquisite torture from an emotional standpoint. But it was the fact that she really, even when she was quote unquote reading the show, like, it was done from the standpoint of making us, of really kind of throwing the gauntlet on the ground, saying, of just challenging, what is this? And I really enjoyed it because it was so specific. It wasn't like, you know, one of these broad criticisms of saying, hey, things could be faster paced. If you're not telling me which song is too fast or too slow, as a DJ, I'm not going to be able to change the mix. She was very specific, so it helped us change the mix. And the thing that helped us change the mix was when she said, it's too bad the powers that be at Luke Cage didn't try to consider him, you know, as a man instead of just as a hero. So that was really top of the agenda, was A, to make sure that no matter all the different family dramas we got into for season two or that we wanted to get into, was that we wouldn't lose sight of Luke. And then at the same time with Luke, that he would have like an emotional journey, that he would evolve, that he would make mistakes, that things would happen to him. There would be sacrifices and consequences, and ultimately where he would end up, you know, would be a very different place than where he began.
Okay. I mean, I can understand. I mean, a lot of, you know, a lot of studios, you know, do, you know, really listen. So, I mean, as a fan, you know, and as a, you know, as I guess as a showrunner as well, I guess you know, take that into consideration. I mean, is that something though that, you did when it came to picking the storyline for this season? Because it seems like you really dug deep into the Luke Cage lore. You know, was there a specific storyline that you wanted to reference, or what was your inspiration for the story this season?
Well, I mean, you know, for me, I make a lot of decisions based on music. You know, I knew that I initially got the idea from a party that a surprise birthday party that Mike Coulter's wife threw for him, where you know, it was one of those informal parties that kind of pops up, and you know, I think Mike, either in Pandora or Spotify, just, you know, put in Shabba Ranks, the reggae artist, and then it basically did one of those self-generating reggae song playlists. And in doing that, it just gave me the idea, like, man, it made me think about dancehall reggae and how popular it was and how great it was in the 90s. It made me think, okay, like, how can we really use this as a window to explore the history of hip-hop? If season one was about the Wu-Tang vacation and Marvel Universe, season two could really be about the roots of hip-hop for both the reggae tradition and the blues tradition. Because I say the reggae tradition because Kool Herc, one of the first DJs, immigrated to the Bronx from Jamaica and brought with him the whole notion of a sound system and turntables being more powerful than a band. Through the dossier of Marvel villains, and then found Bushmaster, who was interesting, A, because he could fight Luke on his own terms because he also was a survivor of the bursting process, and B, you know, it mentioned the fact that he was, you know, even though he controlled a European syndicate, that he was originally from a Caribbean island. And that little note of him being from a Caribbean island, you know, gave us a window to say, ah, he's faking, you know. And that's the combination of being able to, of the music being, you know, an interesting place to explore, and then the character, because of the nature of his powers, also being interesting to explore. And then trying to find different ways, you know, other than science, conventional science, to explain his powers, which made him even more, you know, mysterious, and also gave something for our Deadly Nightshade, a.k.a. Tilda, to do.
Yeah, speaking of Bushmaster, you know, this year Marvel has given us a lot of villains that are, you know, three-dimensional. You know, they're villains that we can, that some people can, you know, comprehend, that they can, you know, kind of be sympathetic towards. You know, in Black Panther we had Killmonger, of course, Thanos in Infinity War. Do you think Bushmaster fits into that grouping as someone that, you know, that he's an understandable villain, that people are sympathetic towards his reasoning?
I think both Bushmaster and Mariah Dillard are sympathetic. It's just that Mariah crosses lines that even Bushmaster wouldn't cross. And why Mariah is so jacked up, and how her molestation at the hands of her uncle, and, you know, and having this baby, how it just completely wrecks her psyche. And that moment when she explains that in episode 9 is Alfie Woodard. She and Gabrielle Dennis in that scene, man, it's just an emotional. It's beautiful, but emotional. So we understand Mariah, but then when she goes to the extremes that she does, when all those people get killed, when she kills all those people in that restaurant, then we're like, yo, she got to go, you know. Whereas Bushmaster, we're surprised, like you said, at how sympathetic it is, because when he tells the story of his family, and then when you see it, when the place was firebombed, you're like, man, like, I really understand this guy.
Is there, staying on the topic of the villains, do you think that there's any chance in Luke Cage season 3 that we might see the Serpent Society?
Well, depends on how you could personify it, because there's two different types of Serpent Society. Like, usually what I've seen Serpent Society in comics, I mean, you know, the characters have the actual tails, and it's this kind of personification of a serpent, rather than it being like, you know, the characters that have these snake names coming together as a criminal cadre, you know. So what I would say is, you know, you never know, but I wouldn't hold my breath.
Okay. All right. So with Luke Cage season 1, season 2's here. I mean, I'm sure y'all are going to jump into Luke Cage season 3 as soon as possible. Is there anybody else from the Marvel comics that you would like to yourself bring to Netflix? Like maybe Moon Knight or Blade? I know those are two really popular characters that a lot of people would like to see adapted to Netflix. I know some people like to see it on the film, but I think those would be really good Netflix shows. But is there any other characters or stories that you would like to bring to Netflix?
I'm just happy with Luke Cage, honestly. I mean, you know, I have my hands full as it is with one character. I remain a fanboy. I mean, and of course, I mean, you know, other interesting things out there, but, you know, it would be irresponsible and frankly, you know, overwhelming to think about anything else.
Okay. Now that's understandable. I mean, I know that, you know, people really enjoy your show, and that's, we always get that. People always talk about Moon Knight or even Ghost Rider coming to Netflix. So I just thought I would, you know, bring that up and ask you. This season we got a little taste of Heroes for Hire. Is that something that you, you know, might want to help with if that's something that progresses in the future?
Well, I mean, I like Luke Cage, and I like Danny Rand, and I love how they work together in episode 10. And honestly, besides that, other than how Iron Fist worked on our show, I haven't really given my secret thought to anything else.
All right.
We have time for one more question.
Time for one more question? Okay, sure. Yeah. Last question. Is there anything that you can tell us about the Sony project Night Watch? Is there any updates to that you can talk to us about?
No, there isn't at this time.
Okay. All right, well, Cheo, appreciate you coming on. I know you're really busy, but like I said, we love Luke Cage. It's been an honor having you on today, and Hope to have you back on when Luke Cage Season 3 comes out.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, sir. You have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, everybody, that was the showrunner for Luke Cage, Chael Hadary-Coker. Some, you know, great insight there on his motivation behind picking Bushmaster as the villain. The theme for season two, you know, you heard him talk about how it was, you know, he's really big into music. In fact, he was a music journalist before he got into writing television and film. So that was a huge influence into, you know, why he chose the theme for season two and Bushmaster. You know, of course, I also asked him the question about Moon Knight and Ghost Rider and Blade. Right now, he's just really focused on Luke Cage. I was hoping maybe we could get something out of him about Night Watch. Unfortunately, he couldn't talk much about that. But that's still something that we can talk to him a little bit later. But all in all, a great interview. You can tell he's a huge fanboy. He's got that journalistic side in him. So you can tell that he really does take to heart what other journalists say. You heard him talk about how the journalist, you know, made the comment about Luke Cage season one, how he really took that to heart and implemented that in season two. But all in all, great interview. We really appreciate everybody listening, and we'll be back with some more interviews throughout the summer and definitely the fall as the shows start to hit back up. But I'm Kanan with Geek Vibes Nation, and we're for geeks by geeks, and hope everybody has a wonderful day.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.